Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for December the 16th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. I am Sam Bushman. LibertyRoundtable.com is the talk show website. LovingLiberty.net is our nationally syndicated radio network. Incredible talk shows around the clock. Myself, 2 hours a day, 6 days a week. That's right. And then around the clock, incredible hosts like, You got Beth Ann after me. You got C.L. Bryant after her. You got Brian after C.L., right? Just a lot of great people. Brian Hyde. Then you got Kate Daly after that. Just a tremendous lineup. You got Tony Perkins of the FRC, or Friendly Research Council, doing a great job with his broadcast, Washington Watch. You just got a bunch of talk show hosts doing a phenomenal job, as always, ladies and gentlemen. LovingLiberty.net. There's also a bunch of podcasts that are not literally on your radio round-the-clock lineup, because remember, podcasts are always different lengths. Podcasts don't have as standard or as consistent of a cadence to their delivery. But we got a lot of podcasts up at LovingLiberty.net as well that aren't traditional radio. I mean, you've got Tom Woods. You've got so many different podcasts. It's amazing. So if you want your radio hub to be LovingLiberty.net, make it so. Spread the word. If you want to download our free apps, we've got Android and iPhone apps available. If you download them, you get live and on-demand radio at your fingertips. You can click live and listen to the radio network. You can choose the podcast link, though, and check out our incredible podcasts as well. You can listen anytime to any of our content. You can also give feedback. You can make a donation. You can follow our Twitter feed, all on the app. It's free. LovingLiberty.net. All right, let's jump into the recap of yesterday's broadcast. We had our guest on, Mr. James Edwards, or I should say co-host, really. Race, politics, and hypocrisy in 21st century America. ThePoliticalCesspool.org is his website. And man, we had him with us for 2 hours, and we talked really about the coronavirus lies that have been told for literally 2+ years, and the lies are just ramping up. It's getting worse. Yeah, sad but true. They first said, hey, 10 days to flatten the curve. They're still not even close to flatten the curve. In fact, the greater the vaccinated area, seems like the more the cocoa seems to spread. That's right. In the latest version, or whatever you want to call it, strain. Some people say it's not a strain. Variant, whatever word you want to use. For the Omicron, they say, man, you know what? 80% of the people that got Omicron are vaccinated. What do you say to that, folks? Well, Sam, the sampling is too small. We can't really know yet. Okay. You've been telling us that you don't know, that you don't know, that you don't know, that every sampling on the planet's too small for 2 years, haven't you? 10 days to flatten the curves. Now, 2 years later, we don't really know, Sam. The sampling's too small. Well, Sam, we can't help it. The virus keeps mutating, morphing into a new one that we got to lock you down over, that we got to ruin your life over, that we got to steal your liberties over. And Sam, it's an emergency. Folks, you don't have 2 year plus never ending emergencies, okay? That's a lie. It isn't true. All right. For example, the Taiwanese lab sharpens the debate on the pandemic's origin, ladies and gentlemen. For example, they had a recent COVID-19 leak from what's called a DSL-3 facility in Taiwan. The lady got bitten by a mouse or something like that and got the cocoa, and she didn't follow protocol, and it was disaster. And but you know what? The Taiwanese are admitting to this outbreak, okay? But it was in a DSL-3 facility is what they call it in Taiwan. But that intensifies questions about the debate on the lab leak from Wuhan's, let me explain this right, Wuhan's less secure DSL-2 facility. That's right, the Epic Times with the piece, but highlighting that, hey, if they had a leak from the 3, which is much more secure, they explained exactly how the leak happened than everything else, most likely it leaked from Lab 2, or a Lab 2 quality, whatever you want to call it, facility or whatever. It's how much security and precautions are taking place, right? Well, anyway, we're still debating this 2 hours later, and as James Edwards wisely warned yesterday, we'll probably never know how this all happened, because they don't want us to know. That's why. See, I believe your government does know. They'll classify it all, and, well, in 100 years or 200 years, they might tell you, right? Just criminalistic, ladies and gentlemen. As Germany announces lockdown for the unvaccinated, plans for compulsory vaccinations in the future. Yeah, just leave it to Germany, man. Wow. Austria to make vaccines compulsory after plunging country into full lockdown. So Austria, Germany, tyrannical as it gets. Japan does a pretty good job. Wow, they reject forced COVID vaccinations and add a myocarditis warning about the vaccinations. See, that's at least a lot more honest, right? There you have it. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, or maybe it's, no, it's Ardern, I think. Anyway, admits, listen, there's not going to be an end to this vaccination program. There's no end point, folks, because they say, you know what, the cocoa is here to stay. It's like the flu. You're going to have vaccinations, and to be fully vaccinated, you got to keep up on it every 6 months, 3 months. Who knows? They haven't determined the cadence yet, but that's the future they've got planned for you. Yeah, 10 days to flatten the curve. Don't worry. By June, it'll be over. By whatever. And they lied. 2 years later, now they're admitting it's open-ended, folks. It's never going to go away. For example, in Brazil, Jair Bolsonaro, I don't know how to say the name, rejects the vaccine passports and travel bans. We're not doing that in Brazil, he says. Fauci and Pfizer pushing a 3-shot plan, while BioNTech CEO advocates for a total of 6 jabs on their plan. How many jabs do we need, folks? New scientific studies come out, concludes that 5G wireless radiation did exacerbate COVID-19. Yes, it did. And when we told you that, they laughed at us and mocked us and said we're conspiracy nuts. Now scientific study doubles down literally 2 years later and admits what we've been telling you all along. More than 40% of people with COVID-19 never show symptoms, according to 95 assembled studies. Yeah. And they say that it's likely that people are more symptomatic today, in other words, running around spreading and carrying the virus, but not feeling sick, more today than when this started, ladies and gentlemen. All right. They say vaccinations might contribute to a higher proportion of symptomatic infections as well, because if it's made more mild, then you don't, you know you're sick. It might be so mild, you don't even know. Asymptomatic, right? But more than 40% of people in the study, now they say it's worse than when the study was done. But folks, this is 95 different studies showing this reality check. So if vaccines are contributing to the asymptomatic situation, and you've got 40%+ that are asymptomatic running around, how will you ever get a handle on this? You take people's temperatures. We did that for a while. Goofy as all get out, acting like it made a difference. We have people wear masks. We tell people to stay home. We hostily treat the unvaccinated like they're somehow Satan's spawn. Okay, it's insane. And it's worse now than it's ever been. Over 800,000 deaths and counting. How many deaths from the vaccines? We'll get into that as the broadcast unfolds today as well. California's universal mask mandate for all public settings went into effect yesterday. So again, every choice we make seems to be just stupid, making it worse. And you say, Sam, it doesn't make it worse. They're proven safe and effective. Then how come we got the problem we've got? Well, Sam, because Steve walked in yesterday without a mask. Well, how do you know Steve is the asymptomatic guy? How do you know it's not the vaccinated guy right to his left? See, you don't know. You're lying to me. And you pretend you know and that you're backing science and you're absolutely full of baloney. Amtrak suspends COVID-19 vaccine mandate for employees. Good for them. Yeah, they say you can take a test instead. Well, get good tests on the market. We heard that your government couldn't even process the tests. Remember, it was your government that put out the first tests saying we couldn't get tests from Europe because they were unsafe and unreliable. Then it turned out that our tests were unreliable and they were contaminated even. That's how we started out this scandal, right? The CDC, listen carefully to me, ladies and gentlemen. This is the CDC. 79% of Omicron cases are in vaccinated people. You think that's an anomaly? Not true. Similar data, 80% in Israel. Same reality. Yes, indeed. This is Liberty Roundtable Live, folks.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Brian Rust, RustQuittingGift.com with me. Welcome back to the broadcast, sir.
Thank you very much, Sam. Glad to be with you.
Wow, so much to talk about, so little time. RustQuittingGift.com, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk about the Honest Money Report first, shall we, sir?
All right, 1789.60.
And how has that changed since last week? Do you know?
Yeah, we're up probably $10, $11.
All right, we'll take what we can get, right?
That's right.
All right, what do we got in silver, sir?
$22.39.
And is that up a little bit, too?
Yeah, it's about 45 cents or so, yeah.
Okay, again, we'll take what we can get. How about the rhodium? Right. Kurt Crosby, he's got to be doing good, isn't he?
Well, rhodium's sitting at 14,850.
Wow. All right. I'm not sure if that's good or bad.
Yeah. Well, it's been a lot higher as other metals as well, you know. So, but that's kind of where they're showing it.
All right. There you have it. You know, is there, this is kind of an interesting question because they always kind of make you believe that they've got absolute control of this financial situation. You know, they can raise interest rates. They can lower this. They can inject that. They can whatever. But I don't really believe that they have dictatorial control like that. And the reason that I say that, Brian, is because every fiat currency eventually melts down. But they almost want you to believe that it's endless in what they can do. In other words, it's applied to every single society in terms of eventual terminating and failure, except for, you know what, we've figured this out now, Brian. We've got this thing solved, and we can just do whatever we want to, and there's not really any repercussions. Do you want to respond to that? Because they're not really saying that, but that's kind of the attitude that they manipulate and go into this thing with, as if there's really no way for repercussions. We're beyond that now. We're smarter than every other civilization on the planet. Ryan?
Right. Right. No, that's exactly right. Well, they paint a picture that they want you to see. And so, you know, that picture, is supposed to inject that they can – you know, they have control of kind of what's happening. But, I mean, the writing's on the wall, and we can kind of see it. We can – I mean, if most, individuals can see it, we're not stupid. They kind of, I guess, maybe think it is. But, I mean, you look at what's happened in other countries. I mean, Venezuela, the third richest country. There's an example. Or you look at the prices of fuel or food or about anything that we're buying right now, it's costing us more money. And so, okay, and yet you go back to 08, I guess, when a lot of people, fell into debt by borrowing or whatever was needed, credit card debt, whatever the deal is, they are still underwater based on that debt. Now, if we're to live, by our means, I mean, we have X amount, we spend X amount. Well, that's interesting because if you do that, yeah, you probably can see where you're at. But the government doesn't have any kind of control on that. I liked, the fact of it was a Rand Paul that said maybe we could spend a little less, maybe we could balance our budget in the government, which makes sense. But they don't want, they don't care, they don't seem to care. They just, they create these bills, pour more cash, fiat currency into the marketplace, and then the debt just continues to grow. And if we don't think there's going to be some disaster based on that, then okay, then maybe we are stupid. I don't know. It's going to hit the fan one day. And well, is that our kids or whatever?
The reason I bring this up is the latest headline says this. Senators passed $768 billion defense bill. They say lawmakers in both parties linked arms in an overwhelming vote, authorizing an increase in the Pentagon's budget of roughly $24 billion more than Biden even asked for. Okay.
That's right.
He requested a certain amount, and they said, no, we're gonna give you $24 billion more, and this is over $700 billion. Believe it or not, only 7 Democrats and 3 Republicans opposed the measure. This is just shocking, Brian.
Well, I don't know if it's shocking. I mean, it's just their plan, right? Their agenda. I mean, actually, if you start looking at all this money that's being thrown at us or out here and so on. I mean, you have to look at, we need to spend some money if it's infrastructure, if it's military, there's a balance sheet here. And we create this, this budget of what we really need to spend. But by tearing down everything that President Trump did, Biden just put us in such a bad place. But yet, hey, we can get out of that place by just printing more money. We'll just print more money and we'll fix the problem. Okay, that's great for you to say that and what you're accomplishing, but real
life.
But
it's fake news because we know it isn't true, Brian. It's not possible. It's never been done before, sir.
That's exactly right.
And so if you want to go on a historical reality, if you want to go on a financial or a factual reality, every household based on current government federal debt alone, every household owes like $387,000 now. This is not sustainable, and it just continues to skyrocket.
That's right. That's exactly right. And the fake part of that fake news is the news is saying, oh, everything's great. Our government, oh, everything's great. We can handle it. Well, it's not. We can see it's not. And so the fact is, so they're losing face with the people because the people are starting to say, yeah, this isn't good. And that's why that what I've been saying, and you and others and so on, peace of mind is basically preparation. And so, yeah, putting a little away because you're going to need that. You're going to need to fall back on what you're putting away because I don't think the government's out there. They're going to hand you some cash right now, and those are saying, okay, this is great. They're just paying us what? Paying us not to work, paying us not all this. Okay, well, let's just see how that turns out. So, yeah, preparation. A little bit of metal here and there is going to offset paper. So, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, the debt ceiling charade is obvious. Republicans will never help Democrats avoid a debt ceiling. Democrats will never help Republicans avoid a debt ceiling. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you, we think that the Senate's going to save us or that the conservatives or that the Republicans are going to save us. Ladies and gentlemen, when the Senate passed $768 billion defense bill, $24 billion more than Joe even asked for. Listen carefully to what I'm telling you. The 10 senators who voted against the bill are a mix of Republicans and Democrats. Three Republicans, seven Democrats. Let me say that over. Three Republicans, seven Democrats voted against this. All right, you got Braun. I think that's how you say the name. Republican of Indiana. Gillibrand, Democrat of New York. Lee, Republican of Utah. Markey, Democrat of, I think it's Massachusetts. Merkley, Democrat of Oregon. Padilla, Democrat of California. Paul, Republican of Kentucky. Sanders, what do you call him? Independent, I guess. Vermont. Warren, Democrat of Massachusetts. Wyden, Democrat of Oregon. Only one Republican didn't vote at all, and that was Lummis, Republican of Wyoming. And you look at that and you go, okay, wait a minute. So you got, what, four Republicans? One didn't vote. Three voted no. But the Democrats voted no more than the Republicans. But it was an overwhelming slam dunk to literally spend us into oblivion. And when you ask about it, they say, well, we had to. Because you know, Brian, we're at serious threat from China and from Russia. And so we've got to do this. Our national security depends on it. I think that's a lie, Brian. I think it's an absolute lie. Not that Russia and China are not a threat. They are a threat. But that more money is always the answer to that threat. That's the lie.
Well, and that's been the lie all along. They keep throwing more money. How's it working out? How's this more money working out? And they've thrown not billions, they've thrown trillions. So we're not coming out of trillions, in my opinion.
Anyway, you look at that and you go, wow, I don't really understand it. We always think more money. Now, in this bill is a bunch of weird things, too, as always. They're omnibus, massive spending. One of the pieces of the bill, and this is why maybe so many Republicans voted for it, they say that service members that don't get the vaccines will not be dishonorably discharged over their non-willingness to get a vaccine. Now, that's a good thing, right? But why is that in this bill at all in the first place? For a military spending bill. It's all insane. Brian Rust and Sam Bushman in seconds on your radio.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin changed his plea to guilty on Wednesday to two federal civil rights charges, including the use of excessive force against George Floyd last year. At a White House press briefing Wednesday, Dr. Fauci said COVID-19 vaccines do not currently need to be changed to target the new Omicron variant. A federal grand jury on Wednesday brought a charge against Amplify Energy Corporation, the Texas-based oil company that owns and operates the pipeline that leaked 25,000 gallons of crude oil onto the shores of Southern California in October. Orange County DA Todd Spitzer.
The company should not be responsible for leading its own investigation with respect to the hundreds of millions of dollars of devastation that it did to our environment and our economy.
For more information, visit us at usaradio.com. We are USA Radio News.
Here's a great thing to consider doing right now before the end of the year. Call MediShare and find out just how much you would save by switching to MediShare, the affordable alternative to health insurance. When you call, you'll get some good news and probably be very happily surprised, too. The typical family saves $500 a month, but you might save even more. It's so worth it to at least find out. And you'll see why more than 400,000 people are already members. MediShare is a Christian community that shared more than $4 billion in each other's healthcare costs. It really is remarkable, and they're very easy to talk to. And here's the thing. If you join before the end of the year, they'll waive your new member fee. That's another $170 you'll save. I'll give you the number here in a second. The call, and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is December 31st, so call now. You'll save even more. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
With inflation running higher than it has in decades, some lawmakers are saying more massive government spending is probably not the right response at this time. Let's get an update with President Biden's massive social spending bill, the Build Back Better plan.
Senate Democrats continue to remain hopeful that they will be able to overcome GOP opposition to pass President Biden's roughly $2 trillion Build Back Better agenda before Christmas. Senate Minority Leader from Kentucky, Mitch McConnell, is expressing concern Wednesday during the Senate its opening session about the cost of the legislation. The Kentucky senator saying to pay for the plan, President Biden's promise not to raise taxes on middle-class Americans will be broken.
In 2022, their bill would give a bigger percentage tax cut to people making more than $1 million every year than to families that pull in between $75,000 and $100,000. That's according to the Joint Committee on Taxation.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
All right, back into live. Brian Rust, Sam Bushman on your radio. Brian Rust, ladies and gentlemen, if you want a friend in the coin business, if you want somebody to help you get constitutional currency in your portfolio, I'm telling you right now, Brian and family have been at this for over the past 50 years, helping people understand metals, what decisions to make, etc. RustCoinAndGift.com. I had a buddy of mine want some gold and silver. I took his, I took fiat currency to Brian. Brian put together this incredible package for this guy. I mean, it was amazing. And when I, you know, got the package and gave it to my friend, he looked at it and he goes, man, this guy couldn't have picked better choices for me. It's a broad spectrum building this portfolio of just incredible coins. But all the coins, and this is the key part, all the coins, you know what? Brian had my friend take possession of those coins. That's one of the keys. Don't just do paper, folks. Possession matters. Anyway, and then he looked at it, and he's like, man, this is really good. This is, I got a bunch of different great coins. Brian put together these different denominations of coins in terms of size and value and stuff like that, to where if you ever needed to barter or use it for trade or sell off a little bit of it, you could wisely determine what you really needed and kind of scale accordingly. I don't know how to explain it better than that, but it was just amazing. And so you're talking about coins that have real value. You're not talking about a gazillion dollars in numismatic stuff where it's like, man, if the bottom drops out, your whatever value of the coin goes away. No, we're talking real assets here, ladies and gentlemen. Constitutional currency, real money stuff. I mean, it's amazing. Anyway, sorry to go off on that a little bit, Brian, but I think it's important when you compare that to Congress, when Senate, the Senate just spent $768 billion on a defense bill, $24 billion more than Joe even asked for, and the Republicans are as implicated as the Democrats by far, and they all claim they had to, Brian. They just had to. It's for your safety and security. And at some point, I say they're becoming the security liability. If everything melts down from within because our debt holders call a halt to the con game, we're going to have a bigger threat than some foreign power overseas, Brian.
Yeah, there's some major collapses and everything else that's rearing its head because they've cluttered our lives with so many things. We're twisted. We're spinning around trying to figure out. We got fake news out there, you know, just supporting the evil that's going on. And it's it's a mess, no doubt about it. I read this thing that said something about same symptoms, different disease. You know, and the two factors were inflate away the debt with crappy currency, and the other one was to create fear in amongst our, the masses, our community here, inject fear with foreign enemies, right? Well, isn't that kind of what there's? Okay, here's another so much $1 billion going into that. Okay, we got to protect we got these China and these others. We got to protect ourselves. So here's more, and just, you know, that's kind of what's happening. You know?
They're tentupling down on both, aren't they, sir?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And yeah, and that's kind of their agenda. You know, who cares? You know, we're going to be just fine. They keep saying that. I the two, you know, our president and vice president, I keep thinking, okay, here's our leaders. We voted them in, and it's unreal. I just look at the little, it's a circus up there, and they ask questions, and the aide or whatever that takes the questions kind of bounces around the questions, and I don't know if we even get answers. It's pretty wild.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to even talk about this because I just go, national debt now, $287,859 per household as Congress raises the debt ceiling. Daily Wire. I look at that, Brian, and I just can't comprehend that. If I owe an equivalent amount on my mortgage or, you know, whatever, and then I owe that too or whatever, I mean, I'm literally never going to be able to get out of any of my debt, really.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that, you know, an interesting part to that, you know, I kind of, if you look back, they used to have a little ticker tape on these news desks. You turn to Channel 5 or 4 or whatever, and across the front of that desk was this ticker tape of here's our debt, here's what people owe, and it would just kind of go. Well, when people were seeing that and seeing that, that's funny. Silver was at $50 an ounce. And silver now, what's showing about that $22 range, and if you compare that to then, I would have to say we're 10 times, if not 50 times, worse in our position financially than we were then. But silver was $50. So that's
so
just
think about that then. Silver's less than half. And right? We know silver and gold are kind of a real stability factor. In other words, I'm not saying there's not slight fluctuation in gold and silver because there's fluctuation in everything. But it's very right. Slight. It doesn't change. In other words, a silver... an ounce of gold back in the day of Moses could buy you a fine suit or 300 loaves of bread, and it can do the same today. Right? That's kind of the point. And so it doesn't change a whole lot. And if you're saying silver's less than half now, but we're in whatever, 10 times, 100 times worse financial situation, that just proves the manipulation beyond debate, Brian.
Right. That's exactly right. And so that just is one example of why we need to prepare, because it's just we're just running around with all this chaotic news and all this, you know, I mean, and we're just, I don't believe we're coming out of the trillions. I can't even figure out trillions, tell you the truth. I mean, so many seconds is how many trillions or, you know.
Brian, I don't mean to be rude. Can I stop you, though? You don't understand trillions?
Yeah, can you help me there?
You don't understand trillions. Let me just ask you if you understand billions.
Well, I think billions, in a sense, maybe not even high amount of billions. But
I'm not trying to be rude with this. I'm just saying I don't even understand billions. I can't count to a billion, Brian. I can't even count that high. If I were to sit there every day and I were to count and I were to mark my place when I pass out and stuff like that, I'm telling you, I couldn't even get there.
Right.
Number one, I couldn't do it in my lifetime. And number two, I would lose count. I wouldn't know where I was. And it's not even possible to count that high, Brian.
Right. You're right.
Now, I might count to a million, so I can at least times that by 100 and say, okay, I kind of understand it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The millions, I kind of can understand a lot better. But when you get billions, it is so catastrophic in terms of its number. I don't even know that we can really honestly understand billions. And we can say stuff like, well, $1 trillion, Sam, is if you stack dollar bills, it'd be this many miles high, and that's from Florida to, Utah or whatever. We have all these, and you look at, we've got this graphic, Sam, and it's a warehouse full of crates, and they're higher than your head, and the warehouse goes on for miles. Okay, there's ways that they try to get your arms around it, Brian, but I still don't really understand.
Yeah.
Because here's what I don't understand. How do you make that much money? It's one thing to represent that money. It's another thing to truly generate it in terms of real, honest wealth, Brian.
Right. That's exactly right. And I think most of us are in that boat. We can see what we've earned or we made and what we spend on our sheets and so on. But yeah, when we start throwing those big numbers at, I agree with you. You can't comprehend it. And at the top, that's nothing. And next, I guess they'll be talking about quadrillions, I guess. Maybe is that the next step?
I don't even know.
Kids?
Because if I can't understand billions, then I can't understand trillions and whatever else is after that. I don't know really. I mean, is it even meaningful in terms of a discussion?
I don't think so. I don't. Yeah. I
guess if you can't discuss it and you can't contemplate it, certainly you can't earn it. So what happens, though? At some point, do those who own our debt or those who, whatever you want to call it, if they call a halt to the con game, at some point, do they have repercussions if we don't pay? What is their remedy if we don't pay, Brian?
Well, maybe they come in and they take infrastructure. Huh? So we're building our infrastructure. We need to pour more money into the infrastructure so that others, perhaps, that we owe major debt might come in maybe and take that. Maybe it's our electrical companies or our water systems or.
Hold on a minute. So I-15 is the biggest, longest freeway in Utah. Okay, I-15. It's the thoroughfare that runs through the greatest population in the state by far. And what we're going to do is we're going to improve that road. So then what? The communist Chinese can own it?
Maybe.
And what?
A little toll. They put a toll on it. Maybe they put a toll because they can get, maybe when they need to be paid back or so. I don't know. You know, it seems like, infrastructure would be a big factor, I guess, if we were, under maybe perhaps puppets in that sense. We need the heat.
Well,
we need
can we just
fuel.
Regulate we the value of the road and say that road's worth, what's beyond quadrillions, Brian? We just say that the road's worth way more. What's beyond that,
Good point.
This is what I'm talking about. I don't mean to be rude, but Congress is so ignorant. They act like the American people can breathe easy for Christmas, Brian.
Yes,
thank heavens they dodged that bullet there, buddy. Bullet-dodging patriots on your honor, at your service, sir. And I'm thinking, have these people lost their minds? Have they lost their fiat money printing minds, ladies and gentlemen? All right, Brian Rush with me. Final segment in seconds. We got a little bit more to talk about. The digital fiat currency, that'll save us, won't it? All right, hang tight. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable live radio program. RussCoinAndGift.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
You are a racist. Your mom is a racist. Your dad is a racist. And your entire family is racist. And you should all be punished. That's what Governor Brad Little thinks about you. So much so that he took $30 million of taxpayers' money to force critical race theory down the throats of school children, even though the Idaho legislature voted against it. This is the doctrine that teaches your children that just because they are white, they are racist. Yes, your governor, good old Brad Little, violated the constitutional law and did this while you weren't watching. Why is Governor Brad Little paying to promote radical leftist doctrine loved by Democrats like Boise Mayor McLean and sleepy Joe Biden? This is Ammon Bundy, and we need to completely reject critical race theory in Idaho.
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to The Honest Money Report with Brian Rust. RustCunningham.com on your radio. Liberty Roundtable Live. And we talked about the divided Senate votes to raise the federal debt ceiling. So much for the ceiling, right? By $2.5 trillion. Brian and I, we're both pretty decent at finance, but you know what? We can't even understand a billion, much less a trillion dollars, ladies and gentlemen. And those who tell you they can, have them come on the radio with me and help us break it on down there. You know, you've heard of the, in the music industry, like, let's go for a breakdown, right? Okay, let's do it, ladies and gentlemen. Let's have a breakdown when it comes to finance. Let's get her done. Let's, you know, let's just, you know, tinker till we understand the moving parts. Shall we, you financial wizard, expert, lion thieves? All right, yeah. The national debt now, ladies and gentlemen, literally relates to $287,859 per household, ladies and gentlemen. Absolutely never be able to pay that kind of money back. But Rand Paul is warning of another concern that I wanted to bring to your attention, Brian. The death of right to work is what they're talking about here. And right to work, as you know, is your ability to work as you choose. And there's not every state that's a right-to-work state. Some states, they have forced unions. It's as communist as it gets, by the way. But they have these forced unions where they could steal your money. They call them dues. They could take that money and fund your political opponents. I mean, it is insane. But I want to bring this up. They call it the PRO Act. And they say the PRO Act is making its way through Congress. And if it passes, it'll wipe out all 27 states' right-to-work laws, ladies and gentlemen. Rand Paul, Senator, providing the warning on this. Do you want to respond to this one, Brian?
So if I understand it, they're basically stating that it's going to eliminate the right to work because they'll be basically in control of the working force. Is that what we're?
It means that they'll be able to force unionism on everybody. So right now, unionism is a problem. Unions want to represent you and all your rights relating to work. They want to basically be your power of attorney in totality, right, when it comes to your right to work. So they would decide your working conditions. They'd decide your salary. And they want you to believe it's a great bargaining benefit to you. But 80%+ of the American people understand that, you know what, unions are not good. Now, a voluntary union, Brian, that you can join and leave as you choose at your own will, by all means, that's fine. If the employer is being a little too abusive, there's nothing wrong with the employees getting together and say, hey, now, let's be fair, let's be cut. Okay, there's no problem with that. The problem is when unions get government special privilege and then they force your compliance and obedience to their, quote, national dictates codified by government. So I'm not allowed to commit violence in the streets. But, Brian, if I'm a union leader and you don't follow the union's rules, I can beat your head in, buddy. And it's okay, because I have special privilege by government to do so. You know what? You need to obey the union, my friend. Okay, and this is the problem, and this is the battle we're fighting. So right now, the PRO Act, which has a goal of literally forcing unionism on all of us by jettisoning the right-to-work states. The right-to-work says, hey, if you want to leave a union, you can. You don't have to have a union representing you if you don't want to. But there's 27 states that are right-to-work now. In the other states, you don't have that liberty.
Right.
And so it's a big deal when it comes to finance and when it comes to, I don't know, the medium of exchange there, Brian.
Right. So are they're so basically you're they're pushing, someone's pushing this agenda to really push across the network. So they obviously have control. I mean, we've already seen the abuses that have come from union and leaders and another, you know, it's kind of they tie your hands and vote and pay the way they want. But why would we want that? I mean, we can, if 80% of us think it's bad, why are they, well, I don't want to say why are they pushing it. I can understand it, imagine, probably from the top, right? It's one more way for us to be controlled. Little puppets.
Yeah, that's the bottom line, I believe, is control. I believe it's also, you know, every plank of the Communist Manifesto, sadly, is so entrenched in America that those who really research it are shocked, every one of them. If you decide to pull out your Communist Manifesto and dig into it and go, hey, what makes this baby tick? What do they want? You'll go, oh, my gosh, in America, we're in trouble. Yes, you will. Go try it, ladies and gentlemen. Eldon Stahl, by the way, is with us. And he's with the John Birch Society, JBS.org. He's the field coordinator in my area, doing a great job joining us on the radio monthly as well. Eldon, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Oh, thanks, Sam. It's good to be back.
And I wanted to give you a chance to comment on this, too. Rand Paul, senator from Kentucky, warning, ladies and gentlemen, that you know what? The death of right to work. The PRO Act is making its way through Congress, and if they get their way, if it passes, it'll wipe out all 27 states' right-to-work laws. Do you want to respond to this?
Yeah, actually, a little background on this. You might remember a couple of years ago when the John Birch Society was kind of the lone voice in the wilderness on the, on the conservative side, warning against the USMCA that Trump was pushing. And, a lot of people said, oh, well, Trump's pushing it. It must be good. And we warned at the time that this would put pressure on the United States to get rid of the state-level right-to-work laws. And people said, oh, well, I'm not sure. Well, of all the things that Biden got rid of, he did not try to get rid of the USMCA. So just a little footnote there.
Interesting.
You know, he got rid of a lot of Trump stuff, but he hasn't spoken up at all against the USMCA. Very, very interesting, huh?
And ladies and gentlemen, we're not against unions. We're not against employers, and this is where the debate often happens. You know, we're not against employers or employees working together to say, hey, let's make a better balance between, you know what, labor and those who call for it and those who fulfill it. In other words, supply and demand on the labor reality. We don't have any problem with that. Freedom of exchange, that freedom to associate, that interplay that takes place, that peacefully assemble as you choose. We don't have any problem with any of that. It's forced. Let me say that word again. It's forced. Let me say that word one more time so you get it. It's forced unionism that we're saying heck no to, Brian.
Isn't it kind of forced virus control, too? Aren't we being forced to wear a mask or forced to? Oh, sorry. Maybe that's a different.
Yeah, that's exactly the problem here is we're talking about choices, agency, freedom to associate, to join, to leave as you think best for you and your family and your employment or whatever else versus force.
Right.
Eldon?
Yeah, you shouldn't be forced to unionize or do so many of these things. That's really not the purview of the government. It should be about protecting our rights from God, not giving special privileges and things to unions or whatever group it might be.
Wow, there you have it. They say divided Senate votes to raise. I don't know how divided the Senate really is. But I know this, Rand Paul's right. If we allow this PRO Act to make its way through Congress and be successful, the only real chance we have to stop it would be the Senate, because you know Joe will sign it, and you know the House will sell us down the river. They've got 218 votes. The Senate's the only place that if we got a single Democrat to join us, we could stop it. And if they have to have an overwhelming, a veto-proof majority or whatever, 60, then it's DOA maybe. But that's our only hope right now, Brian.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, it seems like this agenda from the top basically is a forced type agenda all the way along. So, I mean, President Biden, he's all about, you know, about it. He didn't get do away with it like Eldon mentioned. You know, one of Trump's things seemed to not like anything Trump did, and it kind of set us back a ways, fuel prices and everything else that's gone on. Yeah, it's one more way to force. It's just like force our economy to shut down because of COVID, and force this and force this mask. And if you don't, it just seems like one more thing after another. So I guess part of the agenda, get in line.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We mentioned on yesterday's broadcast as well, Philadelphia announced that all facilities, I repeat, all facilities that sell food and drink will soon have to require proof of vaccination, not just for their employees, but for all customers to partake in their offerings. Only fully vaccinated people will be able to go to any establishment at all. Do you want to respond to that, Brian? This is a economic play as much as it is a tyrannical play about what you can eat and drink.
Well, that's part of forced. We're forced, if we want to do this, we're forced to do that. And the freedoms that we've enjoyed in life have almost, you know, are being taken away as a result. And we're not looking at the numbers. I mean, if the numbers don't lie, and yet they don't care about the numbers. It's all about the agenda. And so, it's becoming I think people are getting fed up, you know, right? I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe
amen to that.
And
wisely so, and we hope so, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, you know who Whoopi Goldberg is, right?
Yeah.
Did you know that's not even a real name?
No.
Her name's like Elaine or something like that. I kid you not. Her name's not even Whoopi. Her name's Elaine.
Okay.
It's kind of interesting. Anyway, View co-host Whoopi Goldberg comes out as pro-life. Do you want to respond to that, Ryan?
Wow. Is that right? That's okay. Yeah. Pro-life. There you go.
So I don't really have a lot to say good about Whoopi. Right. Elaine, you know. But in this case, I have to give credit where credit's due. We're always fair, Brian. And you know what? Good for her. And I hope her leadership provides more reality checks where more people and more people and more people give in my opinion, a nod to pro-life at the least, which is what she's done. She should have come out way, way, way earlier, but at least she's done so. She kind of advocates for abortion, but she's pro-life. I don't really understand all that, but the fact that she admitted she's pro-life really, I hope, encourages other people to come out and tell the truth about this sacred cause, Brian.
Well, is she pro-life? I mean, I guess she's coming out and saying she's pro-life, but I thought in the past she was, you know, pro-choice, and we're going to make, you know, I thought she was against that from kind of her view in the past. Now, maybe she just changed or what?
I don't really understand how it all is. And what I mean by that is, without me being able to ask her my own questions to get my arms around it exactly.
Right.
I honestly can't tell you because the answers of what I would ask aren't there. Right. So she's pro-life, but she believes in abortion. Okay.
Right.
That's kind of one of those pro-death life people, you know?
Isn't that pro-choice for everybody?
I don't really understand it, but see, and the truth is that you are pro-choice, right, Brian? Not for murdering babies, but look, they're the ones that don't want people to have choices.
Right, right.
So, you know, it's kind of how they manipulate the labels to make back us into a corner every time. I'm right. Pro-choice on everything virtually, but pro-death.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, I believe in agency and choice. They don't. They just want you to kill your baby, no choice about it, see?
Right.
But that's how the pro-death, pro-choicers roll, you know? But Jim Jordan, congressman, dropped the truth bomb. When was Dr. Fauci elected to office, he asks? Fair, wise question, huh, Brian?
That's a good one. That is. We'd all like to know.
either way, how do we fire the guy is what the real question ought to be.
That's right. There you go.
All right, Brian, thank you so much, sir.
Hey, you bet. Have a great day.
RussQuentinGift.com doing a phenomenal job as always. Eldon Stahl joined us this hour. He'll be with us next hour as well. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. God save the Republic.